Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fuck you cunts, it's Ready Player 2! No, your ears doth not deceive you. It is Ready Player 2, and most, if not all of us, are still alive. So we kind of didn't do anything for a really long time, because we suck. And a bit like the Beatles, we broke up. I think it might have been Elle's fault. Nobody can really remember. And then somebody in Wuhan started Plague Inc. on New Game Plus, and everything just went to complete shit everywhere. But we're back now, it's 2021. And we're back, and we have everybody, literally everybody, and I can see their beautiful faces in front of me right now. So we have producer Ross.
Hello.
And I didn't call you Ross for Bellbag.
What's that?
Wow, I'm very proud.
I was going to say, what's that? The first time in 7 years.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, I just backed it up afterwards, so it's okay. Right, I'm going to skip Elle now because Lewis has jumped in. We've also got Lewis.
Yo.
And we've got Elle.
I accept 25% of the blame.
How many of us are there?
Five.
Mathematically, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you said it was my fault, so I said, I'll take the brunt of it. I'll take 25.
Okay. Well, that means that there's 25 going lingering, and I definitely wasn't my fault. And we also have Lee.
Who loves his bat soup now.
What? Oh, right, yeah. Look, was it your fault?
Could have started with me. I've got all sorts of diseases.
Well, look, do you know what? Out of all of us, I think you've probably been the most active.
You have, yeah.
Saying all of that.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I've been doing stuff.
Oh, hey, look at him being all nondescript about
well,
it.
Well, I'm a minor YouTube celebrity now.
Oh. There aren't any more letters after Z, but if there were, I'd be that list of celebrity.
Yeah. We're into the letters and numbers.
So we've all been doing stuff, but we're not going to try and follow any kind of format this evening, I don't think, because that would be freaking pointless. What have you been playing this month? It's kind of a pointless thing when we haven't actually done a podcast in about a year and a half.
Some of us haven't actually played anything for a year and a half.
No, you can just say pinball. So what have you played, Lee?
I've been playing some pinball. Well, actually, you know what? I haven't been playing.
You were supposed to say pinball. You've ruined the joke. Right, we're going to move on to somebody else.
I can't lie.
Oh, and he's also frozen.
Oh, no.
Has he frozen or has that actually happened to him in real life?
I can still hear you.
Lee?
All of the faces of... Oh, no.
Oh, he's catching up.
He's catching up. Just keep
what's even better about that is...
Just keep recording.
What's even better about that is his recording is separate. So yeah. It'll keep going. I have no idea what just happened in that interlude. Sorry, you froze there for us, Lee.
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Oh. Everybody always can hear me perfectly.
Regardless of microphones and headphones.
Even if you're not listening to the podcast. Right, look. So we've got loads of stuff. I've been playing games and I've been doing stuff and things have happened in life and I'm clearly not sat in a conservatory anymore, which is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me.
How are we supposed to tell if it's raining now?
Well, you're just going to have to look outside. I'll have to position my webcam so you can see out of the window.
That'll do.
I don't even bloody know if it's raining anymore.
It's
glorious. I've got an actual chair. An actual chair.
Creak.
That my bum goes on. Creak. I think it probably does creak. I don't think entirely the chair's fault. I think that might be largely to do with my posterior.
Well, it was a yep in trying to make
just
my
say
chest.
Yep, leave that there.
I think mine's gone past the point of squeakiness to ultrasonic crying.
Yeah. It's now squeaking at a frequency that only dogs can hear.
I've oiled mine for the occasion.
Oh my.
Chair, Lee, chair.
I've oiled everything.
I don't need that. I don't think anybody needs that. Right, look, we're kind of back. We're sort of back. We don't know. Look, we've lied to you before.
We're terrible at promises.
No, exactly. No. We said before, well, we're going to be back and we're going to be doing a podcast every week. That was a lie. And we're going to be doing it fortnightly and we're going to stick to a strict regime. That was also a lie. So look, we're fed up of lying to you and making you feel bad. So look, we're just going to do this shit whenever the fuck we feel like it. If we can get people together and if we can edit it and if, by some miracle of nature, there isn't a complete blowout on somebody's side technically. Because that, I'm pretty sure that we have actually recorded at least one podcast that never appeared anywhere because we had technical failures.
More than one.
All over the place. No, but like after we finished. Like we finished and went, we'll see you next week, and then disappeared for a year and a half. And there was supposed to be another podcast and then it never happened. And we just went, ah, you know what, fuck it. We can just end on 92, it's fine.
Yeah, June 2019 was the last one.
June 2019. Do you know, I thought it was further, I thought it was longer ago than that.
I thought we at least, oh no, that was when we were going to do one, was last year, wasn't it? And then,
yeah, we always
and then someone had fucked up their audio and you know, let's not point fingers.
That's not point fingers because this is an entirely audio podcast. But it was Lewis.
That's point audio fingers.
We have all broken our audio at one point or another.
Yep.
So it is not a freaking issue, but it's not going to happen tonight. And we're going to talk
about
things.
We've all felt that shame.
We're going to talk about things and games and stuff. Look, has anybody had any major life changes since we last spoke? That they want to speak about on a semi-family-friendly podcast? It's not family-friendly. Talk about.
I
want to
hear what happened with the stack of paint.
That was the second forklift incident I had within the space of 4 weeks. What? The first one, I took the forklift forward onto its forks.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I worked at Wix briefly in the summer of 2020. I had passed my forklift license and then decided to try and lift more than a forklift can actually take in one lift and tipped the forklift forward like that. And I was given a final warning.
And so then they skipped all the other warnings and went straight to a final warning.
Final warning.
Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, I was lifting a pallet of paint on the forklift, turned a bit too sharply, and absolutely whitewashed the entire yard. 32 tins of 20 litre paint.
Wow.
I had to try and brush all that up in the rain, and then I was sacked.
Oh, no.
Shortly after
you
that.
You knew you were going to be sacked. Yeah, you just fucking left,
exactly.
Didn't you?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's been fun.
Well, that sucked. As if 2020 wasn't going badly enough.
Yeah, but I've got a part-time job, spending more time at home with wife and kids, and I've realised money isn't really that important. It's about being happy.
Absolutely.
And I'm much
100%. Happier. 100%, mate.
So, yeah, that's my year.
Well, that kind of sucked. That was the whole year.
Yeah.
How long was the paint falling?
Yeah, I felt like I was cleaning it up forever.
It took ages to dry.
Well, that did suck, but at least you're feeling alright about everything now.
Yeah, heaven's good now.
Is that the one in Fareham?
It is, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I've been back to it.
So if you go to the Wix in Fareham and see their lovely new whitewashed floor, it wasn't intentional. 100% an accident. To be fair, they get what they deserve if they're going to put a half pipe in the middle of where you're trying to shift everything. Scat images of like Ross trying to pull ollies or whatever the fuck you do in a forklift on a half pipe.
They both definitely sound like things that would end up on like those fail army videos.
Oh, dude, is there not any? Is there any CCTV footage?
There is CCTV, but yeah, I don't know if it's still on their systems. So, yeah.
Oh, they haven't released it.
No, you definitely need to get a copy of that.
Surely they'd have saved it.
Because I want to see the immediate. I mean, I know this is terrible and awful and really bad for you and everything, but laughing at other people's misfortune is obviously an internet thing. And it's not the actual act of you spilling the paint that I want to see. It's the moments just after when you walk out of the forklift and presumably, and I really hope you did this, just kind of put your hands on your hips and went.
just looked at the paint for a second. I thought, well, okay, that's happened now, hasn't it?
That's a fuckload of you.
Were you like standing in the paint? I mean, it was everywhere. Was there anywhere for you to go?
No, absolutely nowhere.
So you were stood in the paint, looking down, around, and all
you
over.
You could say you painted yourself into a corner.
Yes.
No way.
For those of you who can't see it, I made a smug face.
There we go.
Already earned his money tonight.
Yeah, there you go. That's the name of the podcast so far, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So Ross's broken paint cans. Elle, what have you been up to?
I've decided to join the legion of e-girls that have pink setups in order to upset a small minority of people who are too fragile to see the colour pink.
I have a male friend who has a pair of them and he loves them.
Yes!
With the little ears on the headset. For those of you who aren't here right now, which is everybody else.
Yeah, they do!
Yeah,
they've got light and they change colours!
Ella's got a pink headset. Gaming headset that's got cat ears. Yep. Is it cat ears? I think
yeah,
they're cat ears.
The razor,
they're
really upsetting me.
And the lighting. They're really upsetting you.
No.
Get back in your box.
You'd be surprised. So many people just absolutely start. It's...
People have got nothing else better to do, Elle. Oh. Everybody was a bunch of fucking cunts before this pandemic started, and now they've got nothing else to complain about other than people online.
15 minutes.
what's that? I think I said it right at the beginning, didn't I?
Oh, did you? I missed that one.
Yeah, well, you missed that. You need to be on the ball. I thought I'd get it out of the way first. Break the watershed. Have you been doing anything else?
I mean, the most big thing that I did was the charity stream.
Right, that was amazing.
Face the fishies.
Yes.
That was amazing. So you did a great big charity stream to earn money for which charity was it?
The Trussell Trust. Because Trussell I got, Trust. You know, when that news bit came out, it was like, ah, the government won't feed children. I was like, rage! So I was like, you know what? We've got to do something. End of week. Let's go. What a cracking week. We raised over $1,000.
Bloody hell.
Out of a week of silliness. For kids to actually have like decent meals because austerity measures.
Yeah, and then you give that to the government and 4 children get a Mars bar and 2 sandwiches. Job done.
And never mind all that, Elle went underwater and it was amazing.
Elle did go underwater in virtual reality.
Yeah.
And for those of you who can't remember who the hell we are, because we haven't been here for about a million years, Elle is scared shitless of fish.
Can do anything else. Horror games, brilliant. I'm there.
Just not the fish.
Monsters, fantastic. Throw them at me. Fish. Guess someone else.
Nice.
I'm not your
but
hero.
You braved it and you earned £1,000 for underprivileged children so that they could eat in the height of a pandemic, which makes you basically the most amazing person here. The rest of us did entirely selfish things. Well, I don't know what Lewis did yet. So far, I mean, he might have done amazing things. You might be shit. He might have beaten you. But, I mean, all Lee's done is spend ages bigging himself up and making himself look fantastic online, which we'll talk about in a minute. Ross has spilt paint all over the place. I've moved house, and that's pretty much all I've done. Lewis, top that.
Adopted a cat.
Yes! No.
To be fair, that might compete.
That does compete.
Cat. Poppy. She's...
A goblin?
She is a horrible little goblin. And she... Oh, God. I love her more than most people. In fact, I love her older than all of my family. So...
to be fair, that's not a long jog, because you pretty much hate everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, she's... a horrible goblin, but she's also perfect, and I wouldn't change her for the world.
This is lovely, because there's so many people. Honestly, everybody within my whole sphere of knowledge, pretty much, if they didn't already have a pet, they've gone off and got a pet during the pandemic, which I totally understand. But the amount of people that I know that have got dogs, you are in fact the only person that I know that's gone out and got a cat during the pandemic. Basically everybody else, including all of my family and everybody else, has gone and got themselves a dog. And I'm not really a dog person. Like, I like dogs well enough, but I'm not really a dog person. Cats are amazing because they're bastards, but you love them anyway. They will completely snub you. You'll be trying to show them affection. If this was a dog, the dog would be going nuts for it. This is brilliant. Look at all the affection I'm being shown. Cats are just like, you're touching me.
Yeah. I mean,
what
the fuck you she, so she's what they would class as geriatric. So she's 14.
Bloody hell, I didn't realise she was that old. Mm.
But so she's kind of like cool with everything. So like fireworks, she wasn't that overly keen on, but she sort of dealt with it. I fed her and she was like, yeah, whatever, man. Went to sleep in the bottom of the wardrobe.
Ross is going to sleep in the wardrobe as well.
But yeah, like, litter tray I had down when she arrived, and the woman from the charity that brought her around was like, oh, you know, whenever she needs to go, put like, bring her towards the litter tray. And then we both looked over and she was already sat in the litter tray staring at me. Like...
yeah. You will watch me. I've been in a car for 20 minutes. Yeah. I'm having a shit.
You're cleaning this up, fuck boy.
My cats stare at me when they're in the litter tray as well. I think that might be what it is. They're there going, you won't let me outside to do this, so you're going to have to clean it up.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, her litter tray is like right by the bathroom. So occasionally I'll be sat on the toilet and she'll go into her litter box. And then sit and stare at me. I'm like, cat, I can't go if you're staring at me. Like, this is this makes it really awkward. But other than that, no, I've not really done anything else of much merit.
That's fine.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
You've done. Everybody's done loads of things. Honestly, the fact that we're all still sane and talking to each other right now after this last year is an achievement in and of itself.
Define well, one of the sane. Things that Lewis, I know that Lewis has done, is keep me sane. He's done a reasonable job at it, actually.
Well, to be honest, we can't expect miracles, can we?
Well, you know, he didn't have very much like the, to start with.
The blind leading the blind.
You know what I mean? It wasn't exactly the most malleable of clay. Go on then, Lee. Since you probably have the most to talk about, what have you been doing that wasn't really very productive and selfish during lockdown?
I made some stuff.
Some stuff? What kind of stuff did you make?
I made some arcade stuff. I've been... at the start of the lockdown, just before it all kicked off, kind of just before this time last year, I was looking around for something else to do, and I started putting together some tools and things to make stuff with, and with the intention of making arcade machines. Eventually, and I started off by making a cat bench,
which is, you know, arcade machine adjacent.
Yep. For my cat, which, you know, hold my beer cat, is 18 well, now. He's a proper geriatric. He really is getting on now. I'm hoping he makes it to the summer. He's an old boy. But yeah, I've been making stuff. I've been putting some videos out as well on the YouTubes. I thought it all started when I made an arcade machine for my nephews because I thought they would want something to keep them entertained while they were in lockdown as well. They were 4 and 5 at the time. Great nephews, and I made them from just bits that were hanging around in the garage, an old screen. I made them or their parents pay for a Raspberry Pi. I had arcade controls and things like that, and I painted it with Batman on one side and Spider-Man on the other side, their favourite superheroes. And at the time, because I wasn't a big presence on Twitter or any social media, I decided to actually start sharing this because I thought, you know, people are got nothing to do. They might take an interest. It might brighten put a smile on someone's face. That's the only reason I did it. And people really took to it. It was really, really nice. I was genuinely surprised by how much warmth there was towards what I was doing. And it grew from there. So after finishing the arcade machine for my nephews, I had a conversation with my neighbour Terry over the fence, as you do, lovely summer day, and he'd seen what I was doing, make a lot of dust and noise out in the garden.
He was like, what the fuck are you doing, pack it in? And Lee went, I'll make you one. He went, oh, well, all right then, I suppose.
Exactly. He's a lovely guy, and He jokingly said, I think he jokingly said, oh, I'd quite like one of those. And I said, oh, I'll make you one. And I offered to do it, you know, for nothing. I would do the work and he would supply the materials. And we ended up putting together a really... Well, basically, if you crossed Iron Man with an arcade machine, this is what it would look like. I didn't do the painting on this one, but he had it painted professionally at a car body shop that his cousin runs, and
This is one of the most amazing finishes that I've ever seen on something that's been made like that. It looked absolutely incredible.
It was beautiful. So while I was doing that, I decided, well, let's take the sharing it to the next level, and I started taking a camera out with me. While I was cutting wood and painting and
sanding, all the sanding,
lots of sanding. It actually offended somebody that I was sanding so much.
Somebody actually commented on one of his videos saying, God, there's a lot of sanding in this woodworking video.
Oh, God, you sanded.
They wanted me to just show the product at the end.
Don't sand, that's how you get splinters.
Yeah. Shit, way to watch a film as well.
The story's boring. Tell me what happens at the end of it.
No spoilers. So yeah, I put some videos on YouTube and made that into a series, and that went really well. And then I thought I'd up the ante a little bit and make something that I've always wanted, which you lot can see behind me. I made a pinball machine.
Yeah.
And that was a project that nearly killed me. that was a long old haul. But yeah, that's all on YouTube as well. And I made a YouTube channel called More Fun Making It, and that was more fun actually than most of the building. I really, really enjoyed it, and the interaction with everybody was just amazing. I'm so proud of what I did. And then I stopped doing it for a little while. But I am going to go back and do it again because...
It's like you're slacking. It's been a month since your last video. What have you been doing?
Yeah, be careful. This is a slippery slope. I said that about Static Push and we're 5 years down the road.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of the same thing as well because, you know, we did a little bit of writing together back when you were doing that. And I know that it's the same kind of emotion. It's that creative impulse that you need to find again. And it's coming back.
You push and you push and you push and you throw everything at one project. And then by the time you finish, you realise how absolutely exhausted you are.
I had no idea.
Yeah, because you're riding the high. You're riding the wave of creation while you're doing it. And then there's a bit right at the end. I don't know if you got this, but right at the end, I got this bit where even though I'm basically done, and it's like I have to do this much, a small amount to finish.
It's
my body went no. That's all you're getting. You're done, and you really got to push yourself to get that final little piece done, and then you're done. But that little 5% of effort felt like more effort than the preceding 30% was, and you're just exhausted by the end of it. And then the whole idea of creating something else, all you can remember is the effort that 5% took. And you're there going, I don't want to start anything else because that was just so much work. Mm-hmm. And once you've remembered how enjoyable it was doing all the rest of it, the 95%, then you'll probably get back to it. I'm not exactly speaking from experience because, as I said, we're 5 and a bit years down the road and I still haven't started again. But when it does happen, I'll let you know. But honestly, Lee's just come in. He's gone, yeah, you know, I made a couple of videos and I did some cutting. And what he hasn't mentioned is he did live streams populated with a bunch of people, that he's got a Discord channel that's basically got a following of people now asking him how he would do certain things. And he's being really polite and attempting not to show that he has no fucking clue what they're talking about because he's only made a couple of things so far. But it's garnered this interest, which is brilliant because there's a couple of communities out there that have got this gatekeeping that you don't know what the community is going to be like until you try and join it, right?
No.
So you start putting videos out or content out or something into this community that's gatekept, and you don't know what the result's going to be. You could have had pushback. I know that there are people out there that are really elitist and that, you know, if you're not doing things in this particular way or you're not using this particular type of switch or connector or something, then you're not doing these things in the right way.
I mean, so I help Lee manage the Discord channel, and we've already had people push back like, oh, you know, don't use this software or that software. Or,
oh, yeah.
And like getting to full on arguments over like open source software. It's like, oh, guys, just Have a fucking day off.
That was it.
Yeah.
It's the joy of making it, not necessarily the perfecting it. People take this stuff very, very seriously. I think I saw something on your Twitter feed, Lee, of one guy who somebody had posted a set of pictures of retro games saying, which one of these would you rather have? And this guy immediately posted back saying, they're not pictures of actual video games. You don't own those. You've just got those pictures from Google. And it's like, what are you on?
I saw that and I read through the thread and I read that guy's comments and my blood boiled for a little while. I started typing a message in response in support for the person that was being affected by this. And then I looked at it and I thought, what am I going to achieve?
Yeah.
Dropped them.
Was that Sega Tim?
No. Poor Sega. Yeah, Sega Tim is free Timmy, basically. Twitter has banned him. Anyway, never mind him. Oh, we're talking about me.
Tangential. Oh, yeah, let's stop talking about Tim. This is about me. This is my time in the light.
No, there is something else that I do want to talk about, though.
Oh, well, hang on. I feel like you've had your quota.
There is a reason that's not entirely selfish.
All right, go on then.
You can have a turn in a minute.
I ain't done anything. This is all padding. You go for it.
No, so when I stopped just around Christmas time, I did, like you say, I did the final live stream of the pinball build, which was brilliant, and it was great. I had so much good feedback from that. People even gave me money. That was
really.
Yeah, I'd set up a coffee account. Yeah, just basically never expecting anybody to put any money into it. I got some advice near the start from some other YouTube accounts that have been helping me along the way, saying basically set these things up so nobody else can put them in your name, so that you know
they can't and steal donations.
Exactly. Yeah. People gave. Oh, it was really kind. I got some really kind donations from that. It was really nice. And I spent the money on, if any of those people are listening, I spent the money on things for other projects, which will be coming soon. But after that, like you say, I had the big crash and decided not to actually touch the pill. It's sitting here behind me. It's physically complete, but it's like an automaton with no brain. It's got nothing on it at all. It's a computer in a box. After that, I'd finished doing all of that. I needed something else to fill my time, and I decided to recreate my whole gaming collection. Not the games, but the games machines. Right from the beginning up till recent. Not the very latest, but because I've still got all of those. But all along the way, when I've bought games machines, computers in the past, I've always sold them on after they've had their use, almost always. And I wanted them back. I've always regretted selling some of the early ones, so I decided to get into collecting these.
Hang on a minute. No, I've got to backtrack a little bit here. I wanted them back sounds far more sinister than I think you probably realise. Like, not like you're trying to collect an equivalent. You want that one.
and
so, ladies and gentlemen, Lee started on an enterprise of hunting down the people that he had sold his consoles to.
I have a certain set of skills. So, but the best thing that's come out of this is I've converted somebody that I never expected to convert. Well, I didn't convert him. I think it was always going to happen, really, because I think you get to a certain stage of your life where everything becomes retro at some point. And when you reach a certain age, you look back and you realise that some of the things that you really never expected to be retro but have become retro. Well, Lewis, you are that guy.
I can't believe this. This shocked the hell out of me when I saw all this going on. I was thinking, what is happening? So you've full on gone into retro gaming. And we could go back podcasts, right? There is a back library of you saying retro gaming is shit. Yeah. We have plenty of evidence.
There are multiple tweets from like 2015, well, probably earlier, 2013 through to about 2017 of me saying retro gaming is shit. And variations thereof. But, it sort of started with chatting to Lee about, I think it was before the pinball build, but we were talking about Raspberry Pis and RetroPi and this, that, and the other. And I sort of had a go on that, and it didn't feel right. And then couple of months ago, probably in the start of the year, maybe the end of the last year, I just said, like, look, if anyone's got any old consoles that they want to get rid of, then just give me a shout and I'll cover the postage or I'll pay for them or whatever. So someone sent me a PS2 and a PS1. I paid them for the postage. While I was waiting for those to arrive, I ended up buying a Mega Drive 2. I don't know if I should say this, but never mind. And a flash cart so I can emulate games on it.
I think that's probably okay now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have Sega still got lawyers? I don't know.
Oh, they can't afford lawyers now.
Names have changed to protect the identities of those involved with the boost of the flash cart.
I bought a Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah, and then it sort of spiraled from there. So I end up buying an upscaler so I could play all these consoles on my 4K TV. I ended up going out buying an N64 on a whim just because it was $20. And I was like, yeah, why not? I'm not going to get it that cheap anywhere else.
There's a couple some great of games advances. On the N64. Oh, my word.
Yeah, and I've got plans for, like, modding some Game Boys and this, that, and the other coming up, so...
Lewis has got the sexiest Game Boy I've ever seen in my life.
What?
So it's a Super Famicom-style console. So it looks like a Super Famicom, but it's actually a Game Boy Advance SP. Hang on.
The Super Famicom was the kind the of the Super Nintendo version.
The SNES, yeah.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo version from Japan,
yeah,
was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, so
it
that's the one that's got like the purple buttons on it, right?
No, so this is the one with the coloured buttons. So it's the UK equivalent of the Super Famicom. Hang on.
I think we just called that Super Nintendo, didn't we? Or was that a different thing?
Yeah, yeah, no, Super Nintendo and Super Famicom, the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love this. Oh, wait till you see this thing. It is gorgeous.
This is going to work so well on the podcast. Hold your breath, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, you guys that are listening on audio are missing so much here. So hang on. Is that a Nintendo... Is that a DS? Or is that a...
Oh, no. So it's the clamshell Game Boy Advance.
That's so cool.
Right. I had the original Game Boy Advance that had, like, wings. Mm-hmm. Looked a bit like a maxi pad with buttons on it.
Can't confirm.
So I bought one of those as well, which I'm then going to mod to make look like the Super Famicom.
So part of the information we're missing here is that we're not actually saying what we've been playing, and there's a reason for that. We've not actually been playing very much.
Oh, I've been playing loads, yeah. But...
Well, I'll speak for myself then. I've done something similar. I've in my collection, I've gone from ZX81. I've got two ZX Spectrums. I've got two PlayStation 1s, two PlayStation 2s. I bought a Nintendo 64. I bought a Saturn, which was just such a rush to get. Oh, the Saturn! I do you know what? There's a story there. I won my Sega Saturn, my original Sega Saturn. I won from Games Master, the Dominic Diamond television show.
That's coming back as well. You're on the pulse.
Yeah, yeah. Not with him though, but yeah. I bought one of those on eBay, a broken one, and I went through all the fixing it and everything. And that's basically what I've been doing. I've been putting these things, back together and repairing them and just having a great time doing that. I have played some games as well, but not as many as you might expect.
But you've been doing all kinds. You've been soldering and replacing caps and doing all kinds of crazy motherhubbing things.
It's been such a good... I've learned so much during this lockdown. I've grown as a person.
I don't entirely believe that, but you probably know how to solder a bit better.
I can grow a new person.
I must admit, having gone through some of the stuff with this retro stuff with Lee, so soldering something that I picked up as well. So I've learned how to solder to a passable standard.
That's all we do,
among other things.
Honestly, I've always been terrible at soldering. I think I've tried it maybe five times, and every single time it's gone horribly wrong. And I've just gone, this is bullshit. I'm just going to buy something that works.
I've been buying kits. If I need something now, a good example is the way that you can load a game on a Spectrum. Okay. Exactly. So it's an audio signal. And back in the day, you used tape cassettes. And we haven't got tape cassettes anymore. I mean, I have actually, but I haven't got a cassette player. And you can just use your phone. In fact, there's a fantastic app that has all the games in it. You just plug a lead into your earphone port on your phone and then into the Spectrum and just play it and it all load. But that just didn't seem right. And so I looked around and I bought a kit to actually put together using a little Arduino with a little LED screen on it, and I put all the parts together and soldered it all in. And it doesn't work, but I mean, it was, I can really see where good
this is going. This is a slippery slope, right? Essentially, what you've just said is, I could have got this, and it would have worked straight out of the box, and it would have been perfect. Yeah. But I decided that was too easy, so I went a really long and convoluted way about doing it, worked out how to finish it myself, and then I'm never going to tell anybody else in the world how to do it. You are going to become a Linux user. This is what's on the horizon. I can see it coming.
Kill me now.
The warning signs are there.
This is a conversation that we've had regarding something else. So the upscaler that I got, I bought, made, ready, completed. But you can also buy them as kits.
Right.
Where you solder all the parts on and you put it together yourself. They send you the PCB and you can either buy all the components to go on it, or they'll sell you the components as well. And I said to Lee, like, look, okay, how about a trade? I'll buy the completed kit and send it to you, and then I'll trade you for one of the other consoles. And he was like, oh yeah, but I want to put it together.
Telling you, slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long, and all of a sudden he's going to be podcasting with us. Hang on a minute, I can't get the app working on Ubuntu. That's what it's going to be.
Everything's Linux. I've got a Wii in pieces up there. That's Linux.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But it looks like you guys have been doing really amazing, awesome stuff. Me and Ross have been doing nothing.
I mean, to be fair,
I've just been noodling around and just got a load of paint.
I've been playing so much Call of Duty that I've gone Call of Duty blind.
I bet throwing paint everywhere was, like, in retrospect, was probably brilliant fun. Cruising around in a fucking Hoglith going, fuck your paint.
GTA in it.
Yes,
Ross is favourite Nintendo game.
Mario Kart here around with Wix's warehouse.
He's been playing Splatoon in real life.
Splatoon, yeah.
That would have been brilliant. You missed a cosplay opportunity there, Ross.
The world's most terrifying Squid Kids.
Wait, what colour was it?
It was white.
It was white. Yeah. Oh, you did say actually earlier. Well.
Anyway, Rich, what have you been doing other than noodling around?
Do you know what? I've been playing an obscene amount of games, but so I moved house. I've moved house. This is
have you
greatest.
Also been homeschooling like me?
I have been homeschooling. I don't want to talk about that. They went back to school today. They went back to school today, and I never want to revisit this part of my life ever again. Honestly, never, ever.
Yep.
It's been fine for certain people around the country and around the world. I'm absolutely sure, but the particular combination of teachers and the way that the school set things up, and my children, and the fact that my wife is a nursing student in the middle of a pandemic, and got called into service at the hospital in the emergency and all this kind of stuff, basically left me at home with the kids trying to homeschool.
Spectacular timing.
Yeah. I'm not a teacher. You might not know this about me.
Really? You have such a disposition for it.
Well, look,
you're such a patient person.
I have a reasonable amount of patience. I actually am a relatively patient person. Providing all that patience is required for is ignoring people until they effectively go away. But if the person is actively here all the time and I can't get rid of them because it's my responsibility to support them and feed them and teach them now and all kinds of other stuff.
There's three of them.
And there's three of them, and they outnumber me. my patience starts to wane ever so slightly. And I thought, moving to this new house, I've got an office in this new house. I thought, this is going to be brilliant. I'm actually going to be able to take myself away. I'm going to be able to get some work done. I said to the kids, if you need me, just knock. Knock and wait. Right? Because I might be on a call or something. I might be working. You're just going to have to knock. And if you don't respond, doesn't mean I didn't hear you. It just means I'm busy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to... I'll come and find you in a minute.
Good tactic. So when you do ignore
well,
them...
Well, no, because then what I get is knock, 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 yeah. Knock, 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 knock. I'm never on a call going, what do I do about this?
At least you do.
After about 6 or 7 knocks...
Kid
wandering in. Eventually, after about 6 or 7 knocks, I just thought, well, fuck this, he's not answering me. And just opened the door. Yeah. And in various states of undress the majority of the time. So I've had Eli wandering topless with pajama bottoms on, going, I don't know what I'm doing with my maths, Dad. And I'm on a call with a client with a video camera on, going, okay. But everybody's in the same situation. Yeah. Everybody, and people have been generally very, very forgiving and very understanding. And we use, where I work, we use Discord, like, even though it's a gaming application, and we're on pretty much an all-day video call with slightly less video. As the lockdown has progressed, people have been getting a bit more lax about the whole video situation. They're just like, well, do you know what? I look a bit like I've been dragged through an entire forest backwards. So I'm just not going to bother with the webcam today. But at least it means you're constantly on a call with people. You've got banter, you've got chat. It feels like you're not completely isolated and left out in the cold. I can't imagine being an office worker having to work from home at the moment and not having some kind of... Yeah, exactly. And not having some kind of constant conversation, not having any, you know... Even if you're in the office and you work in the cubicle, you meet people when you go to make coffee. You say hi to people, even if you don't fucking like them, which, let's face it, 90% of the case. You know, there's going to be some kind of chatter. Having absolutely none of that all of a sudden, I couldn't even imagine it.
That's why Ellen Lewis have got cats.
Yeah.
I mean, that is part of the reason why I adopted someone's the cat, was to have someone to talk to and not sound like a lunatic.
Also,
so now when I meow across the flat, my neighbours know that I'm meowing at the cat, and not just because I can.
Not just doing it because you've lost your fucking mind. Yeah.
But yeah, I sort of get what you mean. Like, for instance, I chat to a couple of people, or it's over text, because I can't, not that any of them are ever going to listen to this, but I can't stand the people that I work with. So... but like I'll be chatting to Lee throughout the day, or I'll be chatting to a couple of friends of mine throughout the day over text chat. So it definitely helps because they're in similar positions.
Yeah, but you've got to, right? And previously, if you were in the office and you were on your phone and you were texting and stuff, you'd have your manager or whoever looking over going, hang on, what are you doing on your phone? Or you've got the latest up-to-date chat tool on your MSN Messenger or whatever on your computer, and you're talking to people. But nowadays, you've got to. You've absolutely got to. And managers, I think managers have started to lose the plot a little bit on how to control people and how to manage people. And I think they're worried that everybody's at home doing whatever the hell they want, and they're not getting work done, and there's loss of productivity and all this kind of shit. And it's 100% true, you motherfuckers, because you should have adapted like we had.
It's not true, though. Oh. Working from home has actually increased productivity. That is scientifically proven. Wages have not increased in line with the increase in productivity. If anyone has any complaints about productivity, I'm more than happy to send them an abundance of articles. I'm like, no, school yourself.
I think the problem is, and we don't need to go all the way into this, but I think the problem is a lot of managers who lived to be a manager, who didn't actually have a skill other than being a manager, and managed a team over people who... They couldn't do the job that the team was doing. They didn't necessarily have the experience. And they micromanaged everybody. While they were in the office, they micromanaged everybody because that's all they did to make themselves feel valuable. And now as soon as everybody's at home, those managers don't know what's going on. But the team doesn't...
They're managing the cat.
But the team doesn't know how to work. That team doesn't know how to work cohesively without that manager micromanaging them. So then things start to fall apart. And it's not the fault or the productivity of the people that are working in the team. It's the fucking shitty manager who should have learned how to manage their team properly. Anyway.
Counterpoint to Elle's productivity, I have on more than one occasion logged on to Teams. Morning, morning, morning. cool, what's happening? Cool, I'll check on that in a bit. And then go back to bed.
Yeah, but have you gotten, like, all your work done?
No, he's in bed.
I've literally just logged on.
Like, to be fair, as a person, if you get any work done, like, what business can you complain?
So I've worked this way for probably about the last year. It'll be a full year at the end of the month working from home. And my manager has actually said to me that I work better when we're working from home than I do when I'm in the office, despite me sat watching YouTube all evening or watching movies all day or having podcasts on in the background or playing video games at the weekend when it's a bit quieter, just because I've got the downtime to be able to do that stuff. Whereas when I was at work, I'd just be like...
And you are finding effective ways of de-stressing yourself and keeping your mind busy and active during times where you need to be busy and active so that you can switch back into work mode.
And you're not doing the useless busy work, like pretending to be a good employee. No one needs to do that stuff anymore.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm not complaining about working from home because I know, like Ross in particular, you're out in the customer facing, and I'd have probably been sacked 5 or 6 times having to work with people during the last year because I hate going to the supermarket. Yeah. In fact, I haven't been to the supermarket for about 6 months just because I can't deal with people because I just fucking snap.
Yeah. So the amount of people you meet in a shop, working a shop now, the amount of people that come up to you without a mask on and start talking to you. You ask them to put their mask on and say, no, it's not real. It's like, just put your fucking mask on, you twat.
Here is your rat. Proceed to lick it. Plague bearer. Yeah,
thank you very much. If you would, you can pick up your buboes in aisle 5. Aisle 5 for buboes. I have learnt during this pandemic that 90% of the British public don't understand how arrows work.
Or what 2 meters is.
In supermarkets, they've got rid of them now because no fucker was following them. Yeah. It's not hard. It's just arrow. You go down that way. Also, I understand that all of these things are maybe 5p off, but maybe don't have a fucking rugby scrum while they're putting them on the shelves.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You'd be walking along and these people would just be like, the shelves where they're putting up the discounted stuff. You got 5p off a tin of beans that goes off in an hour and a half, and there's people battling each other to get to them.
Idiot.
And COVID be damned. It has been a very strange year.
As a counterpoint, for those introverts who are thriving, I feel you. I have become feral. I no longer wish to be a member of society. Continue to send me food supplies. I'm happy in my cave.
I must admit, for the first, well, probably until fairly recently, I've been fine. Like, I'll have a chat with the guy that works in the shop around the corner because he's pretty cool, and 9 times out of 10 I can get what I need around there. So, but yeah, like I'm happy, or I have been happy in my own little bubble, having like food delivered, and then that's it. It's good for me.
I am actually starting to crack a little bit now. I will be honest. I've ridden this out, and I was saying right back at the beginning of the first lockdown, when everybody was going, we can't go to pubs, we can't go to restaurants, we can't see our friends, we can't socialize. Look at all these negatives, all these terrible bad things that we can't do. And I'm sat there going, we were fucking built for this. We're gamers. This is us, right? Everybody I socialize with, I socialize through games on online and remote. Even my best mates who live close enough to me to just wander over and go see them, I spend more time online with them than I did face to face. So it's been fine. You know, there hasn't been a huge amount of difference. I've been playing games with my mates on the evening. I've been working. We've been doing that remotely and all of this kind of business. But this has gone on and gone on and gone on, and not because of the homeschooling necessarily, but that's just added extra pressure to it. And I must admit now, even I'm going, I just want to go out. I don't actually care where I go. Like, going out for a walk is one thing. Going out to the park with the kids and having a wander or whatever it is, that's all right. But it's not going out. It's not meeting people. It's not seeing. It's not going to a gig. It's not going for a beer. It's not And I must admit, I am actually starting to crack a little bit now. And I can't imagine those people who didn't have this online community to pull from, people who didn't, as a matter of course, meet up with people frequently on computer games or online or for a phone chat, because that's dead now, right? People very infrequently ring each other nowadays and go, oh, I've just called for a chat. Because even though everybody's got mobile phones, it's not something that typically I've ever done.
They haven't got anything to talk about.
Exactly, even done different,
Well, because everybody's on Facebook. You know what everybody's doing because they've already posted it. You've seen the updates. You know what's going on. That's it. But
I have to admit, the one of the main things that I miss is having food cooked for me and it not have that kind of takeaway sweat on it.
The sheen.
Yeah. Like, if I get a burger delivered from somewhere, like, having that kind of sweaty film across the top of the bun, or having soggy chips, or like whatever. I just miss.
I haven't actually. I've not experienced that sweat for quite some time now. A year, in fact. And you talking about the takeaway sweat has actually made me hungry.
Oh, good God.
I don't know. I just miss having a normal, like going to a restaurant and having a normal meal. Even if I went to Wagamama's between lockdowns last year. I think it was just before or just after my birthday. And oh my God, even though it was full of people and there was dividers up and it was like eating in a cubicle, it was just so nice to have food cooked for me that didn't have that kind of sheen to it.
Well,
I started cooking. We did the. What are you laughing about, Ross?
You said that with such pride.
He laughs for all of us,
like a uni student who's just moved out.
And no, not like hot noodles for themselves. Yeah, it has been a little bit like that, foraging. No, we did the, you know, like the gusto box. Whatever the other one's called, HelloFresh or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We just got that, and honestly, I kind of dreaded it because it's like I just can't be fucking bothered. You work all day, you've got the bloody homeschool crap going on, you've got constant Amazon deliveries, constant. We've just moved house, we need lots of things, so Hannah orders 15 separate deliveries and then goes to work or uni or something like that. You just cannot move. You'd think that they'd all turn up with one delivery. Here's your 45 things that you ordered. Let's slot them through the door. No.
I know where to come from the cardboard then.
15 different delivery guys who just, they don't believe that doorbells work. So they'll ring the doorbell, then immediately bang on the door. My office is right next to the front door. They'll have rung the doorbell three times by the time I've tried to get to the front door. Right?
We don't get that. We get one ring and they've legged it.
They've already legged it. Honestly. Now, I get that they've got a lot of fucking deliveries to make, but Jesus Christ. Yeah. Anyway, so we've had, it's just constant deliveries, it's constant interruption, and anything that you try and do, if you're trying to get any work done, you can't get your head in any zone. You can't concentrate on anything because you've got homeschooling going on, you've got somebody calling you, you've got fucking deliveries turning up, and it's just...
exhausting.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to the zen of actually being able to focus on something for a minute and then moving on. I don't know whether that's going to happen anytime soon. But
maybe by the time we get to episode 100.
But no, I started cooking. The thought of actually going and cooking something after all of this has been going on all day, I kind of dreaded it. But you know what? It's really nice.
It's, I love cooking, yeah.
It's quite relaxing. I've got an Amazon Echo Show thing, one with the screen, the Alexa with the screen. And frankly, I mean, Hannah got it for me, and it's been pretty useless, if I'm being totally honest. It was sat in the kitchen for ages. But then
they're useless. Have you asked it to fart?
No, I haven't done that.
Do that.
Ask it what sound do hamsters make. That's a good one.
Just ask it to fart. You will not stop laughing.
But they updated it. One of the reasons it was shit originally was because it couldn't play Netflix.
Right.
But it can now. They've updated it. So I can just walk in and say, Alexa, play whatever the heck it is I'm watching on Netflix. And then I'll just start pottering. and I'll just follow the recipe and just potter along. And it's, you know, 45 minutes, an hour's worth of cooking. And I've just been, it's nice. It's nice. It is quite nice.
You said, like, oh, you know, it's difficult to get into the zone. Like, that's, even though I'm just cooking for myself, that's one of the one times that I find that I can just kind of switch off and stop thinking about anything is when I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd love cooking.
Honestly, that's made a bit. I cook. I've cooked every now and then. I make cornflakes. Prior to all of this, I would cook, and I make steak and other bits and bobs, but I would never do it because I've chosen to do it. I've always done it because I have to do it.
Yeah.
But now, I went into the kitchen the other day and just went, what have we got in here? And I found a cauliflower and some carrot and some other bits and bobs, and ended up making this sweet chili cauliflower thing with noodles that wasn't on any recipe book, and I just did it. It tasted all right.
That's the best cooking. Just throwing stuff together.
Yeah, just chucking it together, and it was quite nice.
You can never make it again, so it never tastes the same.
I have no idea what I did now. I can't remember. I literally just found random shit I had in the cupboard.
You're definitely doing it wrong, though, I have to say.
Why
to be that guy? Well, you know, you're using the Amazon. It's definitely the Google Nest screen. It's so much better.
Is it really?
I do I do the same thing.
Is it because it runs Ubuntu?
Red hat. Hey, just dip your head back a sec. See if your neck beard's coming in yet.
Don't start, dude.
I do the same thing. If I'm cooking or washing up, it's mostly YouTube for me, though. I just walk into the kitchen and say, play blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's probably the only room in the house that has any peace now. Apart from this one, of course. But yeah, it's in the house, so this doesn't really count. But yeah, I love cooking. I love cooking and having something on in the background that's, that you know you don't have to pay too much attention to as well. Is a very, very, very relaxing thing. I like that.
It's a weird thing as well because I'm on the video call or the call all day long with work, and then I'm on calls and meetings and all kinds of other nonsense, and I've got the Amazon guys turning up, and I've got the kids with homeschooling, and then there's other stuff to do because we've just moved house and I'm supposed to be putting shelves up instead of playing games. And then when I play games, I don't play single-player games. And if I do play single-player games, I stream them through Discord, and my mates chill. And watch the game and chat to me while we're playing. We all play it together as like a group game. And I have always got people there.
Always you play that samurai game.
Yeah, I played Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
We're at an hour. We probably should mention games briefly before we finish.
Yeah, that is true. but yeah, cooking, there's nobody else there.
Yeah.
There's nobody else there. So I just get to get on with it. No, you're 100% right. We should talk about it. We talked about games at the beginning. We talk about pinball machines. We talk about Al's headset. We talk about loads of games.
Jesus. I corrected.
Who's driving this podcast? What? Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what did you think of Ghost of Tsushima? Because I recently bought... I say recently. At the end of last year, bought a PS4.
Okay.
It was a duff one, and I put a new hard drive in it, and now it works brilliantly. Apart from it's really noisy, but... That's by the way.
All PlayStation, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what did you think of it? Because I'm really tempted between that or Sekiro.
Right. I'm getting them. Hang on a minute. So.
Is he wearing people trousers?
He's actually wearing people trousers, which is phenomenal. Not even I am wearing people trousers at the moment.
I don't even know what a people trouser is.
I've got pyjamas. I've got penguin pyjamas on.
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I put proper trousers on. Like, yeah. I've been wearing trackies or shorts.
I'm naked from the waist down.
Amazon deliveries. Can I explain this situation? Also, my kids, there's a park like right opposite our house now, so we can see it from the front windows. So the kids will frequently go to the park. But at some point, I have to get them back. And I haven't yet worked out how to do that remotely. So I need to at least be wearing something.
Megaphone.
And then I can go out.
Loudspeaker. Or loudhailer, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Megaphone,
get your off. If you belong to me, get in. So, look, I don't know if I've ever... I genuinely can't remember what we spoke about on the last podcast we did. So if I've spoken about all of this, just tell me off. But so I bought PS4 and I bought all the exclusive games for the PS4. That I could think of getting, that I could find, that I actually was interested in playing. So I went through them all, apart from one that I haven't yet played properly. Uncharted 4.
What should you play that?
That was okay. That was average. There we go. Next one. Horizon Zero Dawn. This is fucking brilliant.
It's so good, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, so that's one that I played recently, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh,
to the point where I bought a physical copy and then paid extra to buy it again with the additional DLC so I could go back and play that at some point.
Wow. So we played that... now, bear in mind that all of these games I played on Discord with two of my mates. So they're just watching and chatting. Mm-hmm. We're talking nonsense and they're taking the piss out of me when I fail and all this kind of stuff. That was brilliant. As a group game, it was brilliant because there's a lot of intrigue in the story and these little things that they've dropped in that that are excellent. Ghost of Tsushima. This was probably my second favourite PS4 exclusive that I played.
Okay.
This was better than Horizon Zero Dawn, in my opinion. Ooh. But it depends on the kind of game that you want. Horizon Zero Dawn was excellent. Doesn't take anything away from it.
Yeah.
But this was incredible. The level of polish on Ghost of Tsushima, the difficult... Now, I played it on the hardest difficulty that isn't the instant kill one. So there's a hard difficulty, and then there's a difficulty where if you die, the whole game ends.
Yeah.
I didn't play on that one.
Right.
Because it would have been a very short experience. But no, it's brilliant. It's hard. It's a hard game, especially playing it on the hard difficulty. But it was so rewarding when you got it right. It was so brilliant. And there's so much gathering that you can do, and you can find new armors and all this kind of stuff. Brilliant. Excellent.
Oh, that sounds right up my street.
Excellent, excellent game. You have to totally adjust your play style for various different things. You have these stances where you have to change your stance depending on the type of enemy you're facing. But you'll be surrounded by enemies. So kind of similar to Assassin's Creed, where you're surrounded by enemies. But this guy's got a shield and a sword, and this guy's got a pike, and this guy's got something else. And depending on the enemy that you're about to counter, you pretty much have to keep... And you, it's so difficult to get used to, but when you finally get used to switching your stance mid-fight, it is... The guys that were watching were like, I don't understand. I don't know what this is like to play it. But when you get this right, to watch it looks amazing. So, yeah, that's brilliant. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
You're a chump and your opinions are bad.
Absolute pap. Absolute fucking pap.
You're both chumps and both your opinions are bad because Ross was yelling. I played that, and despite some of the technical issues, I thought it was fucking brilliant.
I think it's because I didn't expect it. I did not expect a Souls game with lightsabers. That's not what I was going in for. I wasn't...
Right, okay. Did you play it on hard?
I think I just played it on normal.
Okay, so I played it on story mode, which is like...
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
You might as well run
mode.
Around with a feather duster.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more of
a story,
a Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, a story and cool combat experience.
Than a Souls-like, which I loved. I thought it was excellent.
Okay. Do you know, at some point I might go back and give it a go, but honestly, it just felt so fucking...
I know, it's a bit of a cop-out, but try it on story mode.
I could try a story mode. I just got so frustrated with it. I didn't want a Souls-like game. I don't like Souls-like games. I've tried them. I cannot find myself liking them. And I wasn't expecting this to be a Souls-like game. And by that, I mean the game is made longer by arbitrarily difficult fights. And you then die, and then you're going all the way back to where you were and start again. And it's just frustrating.
Yeah, so story mode takes all of that out of it.
Takes that away, yeah. So... Then the other thing that it did that I absolutely hate in games is it had locations that the only possible purpose for that location to exist is because this is a game. So you get to a point where there's this alien like tomb place that you're in. But in order to progress through it, you need to use your Jedi Force power to push this gigantic ball a la Indiana Jones around an area and get it into specific slots run it into particular areas, and all I kept thinking the entire time I'm playing this is, what possible fucking purpose could this room serve?
Storm drain. I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense. You're just like, can you imagine in the morning the alien fella going, all right, love, I'm off to work. Let me just fucking shift this bloody ball again. This is really annoying. Honestly, so irritating.
See, the thing for me was it added extra stuff to the Star Wars universe or the extended universe. So, like, go to Dathomir where you find out where Darth Maul and impress Savage, or Savage impress what? Darth Maul's brother. You find out the planet that they're from and the other half of their civilization and this, that, and the other, and you find a guy who looks remarkably like Darth Maul because they all look very similar. So they, and like, you go to Kashyyyk, which is the Wookiee planet, and yeah, it adds a load of extra fluff to the Star Wars universe, which I really enjoyed.
All right. Okay. I don't know if I'll play it again. I might.
Are you bothered about the story
mode? Well, I didn't. I think I was bothered about the awesome lightsaber fights. That was the main reason I wanted to play it, to be perfectly honest. And then when I found out that they were nowhere near as awesome as I really wanted them to be, and actually the game was just very, very, very frustrating. And bear in mind that there's three of us all having this experience together. Essentially, all of us simultaneously just went, "Fuck this game." Honestly, fuck this game. This is not what we wanted at all, and we just gave up.
So you spend the entire game searching for this thing, and then right at the end, when you found this thing that you needed to save the Jedi, you destroy it.
Cool.
And then that's it. Yeah.
That's the end. Well, I don't need to play it now. So, the next one...
God, this is...
The next
Walking
one
Dead all over
is
again.
Man of Medan. Man of Medan.
This disappointed me severely.
It disappointed me too. Let's move on. I got that because one of the other games that we played in lockdown before I got the PS4 was
Until Dawn.
Detroit Become Human.
Oh yeah, fair.
Which was amazing.
It was sick.
Played that through three times again with the same group of people. That was a fantastic experience. So we thought we'd give this one a go.
Until Dawn is also really good.
I have played Until Dawn. I played it before this. I borrowed somebody's PlayStation ages ago and played Until Dawn way before the lockdown.
But this one just like. It just chickens out of actually doing something with any substance. And yeah, it's the same with the new one that they brought out with the witches.
I haven't played.
Oh, no. It's rubbish.
Is that skier? Like the yoghurt?
I don't know. It's still part... It's still part of the Dark Pictures anthology, because they're doing the little pictures.
Does it have the same narrator?
Yeah, it does.
Because he was probably the best part of the game.
he's legit good. But the thing is, like, I want to play a game with a spooky monster, and then it's like, ooh, it was all in your brain. It's like, oh, little go home.
House of Ashes.
No. There are more of these. Anyway, look, I'm going to blast through the rest of these. Last of Us Part 2. It's not The Last of Us Part 1.
Yeah. Fair.
It's like The Last of Us Part 1. Only it's more shit.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people really, really like it, right? And I'm going to tell you this now, and there is a polarizing character in this game. And this is going to be so difficult for me to do, because I really don't want to give the story away, because it is the central important part of the game. But there is a character who is a bad guy. They're a bad guy. And you hate this person for a particular reason. You hate them. And then as the story goes on and on and on, you hate them more. And more and more. And then around about, I don't know, 8 hours into the game, it makes you play as them.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't go away. You're like, surely this is only a short little segment, and this is supposed to show me that they're a real human being, all inside and fluffy and lovely and all the rest of it. No, it doesn't fucking go away. And then you continue to play as this person that you fucking hate. I threw her off the edge of a bloody cliff several times because I just didn't want to play as the bitch. And it just kept going and it kept going and it kept going. And then it had one of the most singularly unsatisfying endings that a game like this... After probably four false start endings, you're there going, well, the game's over now. Well, that's wrapped it up in a nice little bow. Oh, fuck me, it's still going. What's happening now? And then it did that like four times. And they're going, are you dead yet? I am bored. Anyway.
Didn't this win loads of awards recently?
Probably, because people are twats. Mulholland Drive won loads of awards. The Queen won loads of awards. No, people are stupid. The bones of the game were really good. The mechanics of the game were really nice. The basis of the story was really good. What they did was with Ellie was really good. There was a lot to like right up until they made this decision to heavily involve this particular character. And then the end of the game, in my opinion, just went completely off the rails, and it almost destroyed any enjoyability that you'd had earlier on.
I'll let you know what I think of it when I play it in about 20 years' time on a Raspberry Pi.
On episode 100 of Ready Player 2.
I know that's not going to be a very... Honestly, I know that's not going to be a very popular opinion, because I know people absolutely love that game.
I really didn't like the first one, so it doesn't surprise me.
Well, prepare to hate that one. Well, no, do you know, you might like it for reasons that you know, for opposite reasons to why you didn't like the first one. I don't know.
You're allowed to like it.
Spider-Man.
Ooh, yes.
Very good.
I played a little bit of Spider-Man. And I found the controls...
Wears out
its
welcome.
Overly convoluted.
I thought it was okay. It wears out its welcome quite quickly, because it's very repetitive. Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay, at best.
Fucking brilliant. I loved it.
I absolutely loved it.
Really.
With a passion. I was like, this is fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then they went, you know what? We got to fucking shoehorn in some fucking random shit. Fucking right in there.
I don't remember any impactful shit.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, you know, Aerith, she's actually Time Jesus. What?
Where's my game?
Where I was, you were just a flower girl from the slums.
And now she's
Time
Jesus.
I'm so passionate about this. And you were like, oh my god, we're in this world-ending plot and I don't know where to be. No, I'm Time Jesus, here from the future to save the past. My tits shoot lasers and can destroy reality. Fuck off. I hate what you've done with it.
I didn't get that ending. Was there multiple endings?
No,
I get it. No, I totally get it. And if you look back at the original Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy VII, you could probably interpret it in that way. But no, it basically the entire thing. Oh, we can't give it away.
People play it. A quick question.
Yes.
I've never played... I think I might have played one of the very, very early Final Fantasies when it was, you know, turn-based fighting and everything. I've not played in any kind of seriousness as Final Fantasy game since then. I intend to play Final Fantasy VII, probably.
What, the original or the remake?
The original.
Yep.
Which system do I play it on?
PS2.
Well, you can play it on PC. It was PS. No, it was PS1 originally.
You can play
it
on PC. You can play it on the fucking Switch.
I want an original.
But what I would suggest is, if you're going to play it, try and find a translation of the Japanese version, because that's truer to the actual story than the English version, which apparently has changed. They changed a lot of things.
It made it very, very difficult to understand what was going on in the very original game. It didn't help that I was like 15 and didn't know what the fuck was happening.
Okay, another question then. So should it be the first Final Fantasy game I play? Or maybe the only.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Final Fantasy VI is a very good game. Final Fantasy VII was incredible for its time.
Yeah.
It's still a very, very good game now. But it was one of the reasons it was so incredibly popular was because it was one of the first westernized ones, and it was very well showcased for its time. It's still one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, but that's because it's the one that I fell in love with the most. Whereas my brother fell in love with Final Fantasy VIII, and that's his favorite Final Fantasy game. So it's really subjective. It's a really, really good game, but you have to be willing to sink a lot of time into it. So a lot of the joy of the original game isn't in the main story. It isn't in the track that you need to follow to get to the end of the game. It's in all the peripheral stuff that you don't have to do, like the fucking snake that for ages and ages I thought was completely unkillable. And just all of this kind of stuff, it was part of the joy of the game itself. But it's not the best game you're ever going to play. At the time, it was incredible. Yeah, of its time, it was
informative.
Amazing.
For a lot of people, it's like their first big game. Which is why I had my very passionate outburst, because it was one of my formative games, and I feel like they've ruined it. However, I appreciate all the hard work that went into it, and I was having a really good time until they fucking screwed the pooch on the ending. I was like, oh yeah, look at all this gymnastic stuff. Screw the ending. Oh, I'm sure...
I loved the remake, and I made peace with the ending. I know what you're talking about. Do you know what? Can we say it? Can we just say it?
Well, spoilers. I already told people that she shoots lasers from her bazookas. Well, so, you know.
This is essentially, like, all the way through the original game, Aerith didn't know who she was. She was, or Ares, as we called her, because that was what the translation was. Ares was, she didn't know that she was this, what do you call it?
Well, it's the ancients, isn't it?
Yeah, the ancients. She didn't know she was descended from the ancients. She didn't understand what was going on, all this kind of stuff. So it was all very... What was happening to her was like this kind of journey, this exploration, this journey of discovery, that this stuff is going on, and everybody wants her to do this stuff, and she doesn't understand why she isn't following it. As it turns out in the remake, what they've essentially done is basically gone, she knows, she knew what she was all along. And whether she hasn't told you or was from very early on, when you look back on the remake, she makes these little wry remarks, these little kind of wink, wink remarks that make you think, oh, does she know? Like, is she aware of what she is and what she's capable of and what she's going to have to do and all this kind of stuff? And as it turns out, what they ended up doing is going, yes, she 100% is aware of who she is and what's going to have to happen. And time is predestined and everything that happened before will happen again. And Battlestar Galactica and all kinds of other stuff like this. And it was a bit unsatisfying from the original story. But do you know what? I didn't hate it. I think I took the rest of the game. The rest of the game was so enjoyable.
The rest of the game was so good.
Yeah. The rest of the game was so enjoyable that I think I was forgiving enough. Of all the things that they could have broken, changing, tweaking the story in that way. It's a really difficult thing. But essentially, the trick here is the first game happened. The original, the Final Fantasy, the original game happened. This isn't a remake. This is a replay of the time.
I know, of the time. But then zone. Why call it the remake? I feel like I've
I know.
Been...
And this is where the misdirection came in. The whole game, you only find this out at the end. The whole game is aware that the original game happened. And as you get closer to the end of the game, the timelines split and diverge. And now all of a sudden, you're in a self-aware game that knows that this is the way the game should be played because that's what happened in the original game. But it's not going to do that. It's going to do this other thing because it split the timelines. A la Star Trek, J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Basically, it's a PPI scam.
I still enjoyed it. And I was really quite excited by that reveal, if I'm being honest. And because they split the... the whole thing. I'm sorry if we spoiled it for anybody.
Well, you spoiled it for me.
I'm going to talk about one last thing. I feel like I've been talking for far too long about my stuff, but this is still the PS4 stuff that Lewis asked about, so it's your fault, Lewis. God,
I played a little bit of that.
I loved it.
One of the best games I have ever played in my entire life. I absolutely loved it, and it's not going to land with everybody. It's not gonna be everybody's cup of tea, but it is, what a bloody comeback for that franchise. It is absolutely incredible. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It's a bit difficult to get into. The beginning of the game is a bit tricky. But after you get through that, and after you get through the interaction with his son and all of this kind of stuff, it snowballs. And the stuff that you get, the gearing up, the going to the different areas, the riding around on the boat and the little conversations that they have when he's telling him stories on the boat and all of this kind of brilliance. Absolutely incredible. Loved it.
Please don't spoil this for me.
Okay.
Won't, but it is, honestly, if you get past the machismo bits, like, it is just sublime.
Yeah, I mean, so I did the bit with the two guys punching each other into mountains, and then I think I can't remember how far I got. I only played it for about an hour because I literally just come off Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, it is pretty difficult off the back of that. The two guys punching each other into mountains was a little bit of fan service, I think, right at the beginning of the game to kind of go, this is a God of War game. If you're familiar with God of War games, this is a God of War game, so you're going to enjoy this, this is going to be fine. And then it proceeded to have absolutely no cutscenes like that for hours. it went into what the game actually is. It's brilliant. Honestly, it's really difficult. I mean, without giving too much away story-wise or anything, it is a hack-and-slash, combat-centric, God of War game that
actually has really very narrative moments.
It's got incredible story, really good free roam adventure that where you get to pick where you go, lots of cool little surprises and hidden things that you don't have to do at all, lots of really good lore and feeding into the whole mythology side of things. I honestly loved it. And like I said, playing with two of the people on Discord being streamed as well, we all had an amazing time. It was brilliant. And we had it on hard as well. So I put it on the hardest difficulty, and that changes things quite dramatically. Oh, no, do you know what? I started on the hardest difficulty, and we played it for about 2 hours, and I had to turn it down one. Had to turn it down one from the hardest difficulty because it was so hard. It was so, so hard. Look, we've been talking about my stuff for absolutely ages. That wasn't really intended, so I'm really, really sorry. There is one PlayStation 4 game that I haven't yet played that I've got here, which I am going to play very soon. That's Days Gone, which is the zombie shooter game that I haven't given a go yet.
Seems to have gotten mixed reviews from what I've seen.
From what I've seen, it wasn't particularly well received at the beginning of its life, but it's been patched and patched and patched ever since it came out, and apparently now it's a really good game. That's what I've read. Okay. So I'm going to give it a go. We've spoken about my stuff for freaking ages, which is kind of unintentional. I'm very sorry. Does anybody else have anything else they want to talk about?
I played Cyberpunk. It's fucking shit.
Do we want to do that again with more gusto, or is that fine to go in the final cut? has anybody else been brave enough to play Cyberpunk? Because that was a thing that happened while we weren't here, wasn't it? That's one of the biggest news stories that has come out in gaming in a while. Cyberpunk.
Literally nothing about Cyberpunk has enamored me to it.
I haven't played it. It was one of those games where even before all of the news stories came out, I could see the problems with this game. I'm like, if you've ever played a Fallout game, I can tell you this isn't going to work. You know this is far too big.
So, I mean, that might not necessarily be a fair judgment, but that's probably because I ploughed about 600 or so hours into Fallout 76 in the last year. But yeah, just there was nothing about 2077 that I wanted to, that made me want to play it, because I just assumed it was going to be The Witcher 3 but meets Blade Runner.
Honest, 100% wanted to play it, and actually quite excited about it, really wanted to play it, but I knew that I wasn't going to want to play it in whatever state it was in at launch.
I came that close to playing it. I saw a VPN type offer where you could buy it in a different territory for quite a lot cheaper, and I haven't got access to a VPN, but my friend has, and he was going to lend me his VPN account, and he forgot to do it, and that's the only reason I didn't buy it.
Whatever you're going to pay for it, he saved you that much money.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, through the whole lockdown, I think I've bought 3 AAA games. I can only remember 2 of them: Red Dead Redemption 2, Rogue Squadron, and something else. And I haven't played anything. I bought all of them and just not played them. So I think I should.
I do want to play it. It is a game I do want to play. I just knew I didn't want to play it at launch. I knew, you could see, anybody who's been playing games for years and years, anybody who's been burnt by buying day one games that are far too grandiose and have got a scope far grander than they're ever going to deliver on day
literally
one.
Literally any Peter Molyneux game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, this is not a day one purchase, right? No. This is Elle's flying car. You do not get in this thing on the day that it's released. You wait for the bugs to be ironed out. And that's what I was doing. And then it snowballed and it got worse and worse and worse. And I'm just there with my tea watching this going on, and everybody is exploding about this game. So, yeah.
Yep, I got in that flying car, and it crashed horrifically. It was the day after I lost my job as well, so I thought, I'm going to cheer myself up. There's brand new games coming out, and I played it for 15 minutes.
I'm going to cheer myself up from this car crash of my real life by playing this car crash of a game.
Yeah.
I hope that streak's ended.
Things are looking up now. But I played it, I loaded it up, it crashed within the first 5 minutes. So, okay, fine. I'll try again. Crashed again.
They'll fix this in a minute.
Crashed again. Waited a few days for a little patch. Got a patch. Still crashed. It is a game that was designed to play on Series X's, and I haven't got a Series X because no one can buy them anywhere.
But they shouldn't have released it on that console. They shouldn't have. If it wasn't designed to work on that console, I haven't been play tested to
which
work
why,
at the same quality.
Which is why PlayStation stopped selling. Oh, sorry, Sony stopped selling it and refunded people.
Yeah.
I got my refund from Microsoft, thankfully, and I bought Watch Dogs Legions for half the price, and it's like double the like, it's such a good game. It's another Watch Dogs game, but it's more fun than Cyberpunk was because it runs and I can play it.
So you're playing good wholesome games with you know, with content and stuff. Like, I've been playing for the last probably 350 hours of my gaming life. I've been playing Rust, and I think I might have become desensitized to bastards.
Maybe you've become.
Maybe I went in the door wearing that badge. I've been playing Rust a lot. It's one of those things that you've just got to get over. It's because I was saying I don't like Dark Souls games earlier, where you play and play and play and then die and lose everything. That is Rust. And not only
you're going to end up playing EVE Online again.
No, God. Do you know, you say that, one of the guys that I've been playing Rust with has just gone back to EVE Online. It's like we're regressing. Rust came out in 2013. Everybody I know is playing it right now.
You're regressing. I've got a Zeta.
Oh, you win. Competition, retro boy. Right, look. We've spoken about everything. There's loads of other games.
So there is one thing that has happened in the last year that we've sort of glossed over.
Oh, what's that?
And that's the next gen release. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who gives a shit?
Did anyone actually manage to get one or t'other?
No, I signed up for a Telegrams, so I get a notification as soon as they're available on like Very or Littlewoods or Amazon. By the time you have clicked on that link, they are out of stock.
I literally had a PlayStation 5 in my Amazon basket, and by the time I went to put in my payment details, it were gone!
Yeah, I had the very same thing with Curry's website for an Xbox Series X on Friday last week.
So I had a pre-order for a Series X, and then I had a massive bill come in, and I couldn't justify the expense of the Series X, and I had to cancel it, thinking, oh, it's all right, I'll get one, you know, just before Christmas or just after Christmas. And yeah, I read somewhere that they're not going to be in stock until... The Series X isn't going to be back in stock until April at the earliest. I'd be surprised if it was that early.
And then on top of all of that, all the PC gamers that are chuckling away at the plight of the console gamers that can't buy their consoles, the PC gamers are going, it's not a problem, I'll just upgrade my PC with the latest graphics card and I'll be off and away.
No, you
fucking want, because crypto miners, bruh. So...
motherfuckers.
Nobody can fucking get any graphics cards either. So it is absolutely a fucking nightmare trying to get any kind of gaming hardware at the minute. Unless you want a Switch.
Oh, yeah, Nintendo Switch.
Knows that, like bloody confetti.
They're releasing new ones every other week, you see.
I've been really enjoying my Switch, to be honest.
Stardew Valley up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's... Yeah. It's difficult with me. Because as you guys know, I buy the console at the end of its generation. To do exactly what I've just shown you, to play through all of those exclusives. And I did that with the PlayStation 4. I did it with the PlayStation 3 as well. Loved it. Absolute hours and hours and hours of content.
Because me
and
the other two guys. Everything's been polished.
Everything's been polished. You get the optimized game that's already got all the patches on it. That's, you know, if you can forgive the fact that they're not the latest graphics, which I think all of us here, especially the two retro boys in the corner, they, you know, all you need is two pixels and some lube and you're off and away. So
the other thing is like you can, so for instance with my, when I got my PS4, I think I got four.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Three or four PS4 games for the price of a PS5 game.
The value for money is huge. If you can wait. If you can wait. And it is difficult.
So So what you described, you just been doing with your PS4, going through all the exclusives and playing, you know, playing the cream of the games. It's exactly what I'm doing with a Mega Drive and a PS2, a Saturn, and something.
I mean, that's a real long game, though. Like, you play that, I'll wait until the end of a generation. You're literally waiting till the end of an actual human generation. Right, look, guys, we are going to have to call it. We've been going for far too long, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to break Ross's recording account. So we're going to have to call it a night. I could lie and tell you that we're going to do this again really frequently, but we're going to come back and do it every now and again. The next one that we do is probably going to be far more game centric than this one has been, but we've all been catching up, and you know what, we want to catch up with all of you as well.
Yeah.
So we haven't been on social media all that much. I have not been on social media at all. I'm going to try and rectify that because we've been doing this, and we'll hopefully be talking to people. But look, we do want to hear from you. So if you've managed to make it to the end of this podcast, please message us on social media, on Twitter, because that's the main place that we're at. And let us know what you've been doing. Let us know how things have been going. And tell us what games you've been playing, because we might be able to talk about it on the next podcast. And we're just going to freeform it for a while, and we're going to chat and see how things go. Yeah. Look, this has been Ready Player 2. This is 2021. Things can only get better, right?
That's what...
Oh, you've jinxed it!
Yeah! Do you know what? It's not my fault. I have been Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen. That's Zebwen. Ross has been...
Ross, and you can find me on Twitter at RossBell1984.
Elle has been...
herself, played by at Escaping IRL.
Lewis has been...
here. You can find me on Twitter at Louis_Kong.
Or at his house, because let's face it, you can't fucking go anywhere. And Lee has been...
So when we used to do this, I used to go, oh yeah, I'm Lee, and I've got my Twitter account, and that's it.
Yeah, you've got loads
website
stuff to plug.
Everything now. I've got a YouTube channel. This could take
not long enough. Crack on.
At ZZLeeZZ. On Twitter, you can find everything.
And go to his website and look at all the cool stuff that he's been making, and check out his YouTube and everything. You can find all of us now on Twitter at ReadyP2. We will be back. We're not dead. We've not gone anywhere. And hopefully we're going to be a little bit more active and chat to each other more and more. Stay safe. I hope everybody out there that listens to us and everybody is safe and warm and cuddly, and that nothing bad has happened to you during this horrible time. We're going to come back just to make it that little bit worse. Love you all. Thank you very much for listening. Ready Player 2.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good
bye.
Night.
She's actually Time Jesus. Perspired.
If you belong to me, get in.
I'm naked from the waist down.
My tits shoot lasers and can destroy reality. Fuck off.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.